Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we want to turn to Psalm 134. This is a wonderful psalm. It's the last song, not that it is the last song that we'll sing, thank the Lord for that, but it's the last song of the Song of Ascents that has been put together, these 20 psalms or so, and that we've learned together on journey to go into the house of the Lord, to dwell in the presence of the Lord, to worship the Lord. And this is the last psalm. And as we come to look at God's word, let's just have a word of prayer together and just commit this time to Him. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today to be in the house of the Lord, to call upon the name of the Lord, and in our heart to bless the Lord because, Lord, you have blessed us. We are so grateful, grateful that you have allowed us to come to worship you in spirit and in truth because we are your children. We have received Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we belong to you. And we praise you for that redeeming work. We praise you for your abiding presence of your Holy Spirit who dwells in every believer's heart. We praise you, Lord, for your holy word that as you guide and instruct, Lord, you have given us the counselor, the comforter, the teacher to teach us truth from your word. And Lord, you have blessed us in that way, and we are so grateful, so thankful. So now as we come to look into your word this morning, hour, we pray that you will open up our hearts and our minds, that you'll do that supernatural work that only you can do, that Jesus will be exalted, that the kingdom will be advanced, that the gospel will be proclaimed, and the body of Christ will be built. And Lord, that your will be done in our lives and in our church. So again, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. And we bless you, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This is a beautiful psalm. It's only three verses, but I could probably preach about, maybe 6 or 7 weeks in this psalm. Don't worry. Because of the counseling of my pastor, who is my beloved wife, she helps me. She always says, Ted, you give us too much information. You give us too much, too many words, too many points. Got to funnel it down as a good teacher. And she gives wise counsel. But I'm just like a little kid that's going to an all-you-can-eat buffet. When I come to the Word of God, I just see what the Lord has, and it just stirs up in me all the good things that we can have. I can have some salad. I can have, some mac and cheese. I can have some, squash casserole. I can have, french fries. I can have some chicken nuggets. There's some steak over there. I can have some prime rib. And let's not forget dessert. I can have some chocolate silk pie. I can have some blueberry pie. I'm getting you all hungry now, aren't I? But that is God's word. It is rich with so much wonderful truth that God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, doesn't want us to miss it. And so we come to Psalm 134, even though three verses. And as we come to this, I would title this psalm as Come and Let's Worship the Lord. Come and Let's Worship the Lord. It's a picture of those outside the wailing wall there coming to pray to God Almighty. Come and worship the Lord. What do you think of when you think of that idea of coming and worship? Well, the message says Psalm 134 this way. Come, bless God, all you servants of God, you priests of God, posted to the night watch in God's shrine, lifting your praising hands to the holy place, and bless God. In turn, may God of Zion bless you, God who made heaven and earth. The English Standard Version states it this way, Behold, he says, Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. The contemporary English version says it this way: everyone who serves the Lord, come and offer praises. Everyone who has gathered in his temple tonight, lift your hands in prayer toward his holy place and praise the Lord. The Lord is the creator of heaven and earth, and I pray that the Lord will bless you from Zion. Come, bless the Lord. We are invited to come and bless the Lord. So what do you think of when you think about worship today? What do you think about? You know, we've heard several years ago kind of a disturbing title called Worship Wars, where congregations have gathered together and they have been filled with conflict and chaos and confusion and division over what does it mean to come and worship the Lord? I don't know about you, but being in ministry over the years, I've had many individuals who say to me, oh, Pastor, as I've invited them to come and worship the Lord, they would say to me, oh, that's great, but I do my own thing. I do my own kind of worship. I like to worship at home, or I like to worship at the beach, or I like to worship at the park. You know, I can get closer with God that way. It's just, you know, me and him and everything's good. And as a believer in Christ, we know that as we go, wherever we go, the Lord Jesus says, I am with you always. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, living inside of us. And so wherever we go, we can have that communion with God, one-on-one. But God has so much more for his people. He has so much more for his children. And here the psalmist is on journey from the festivals. Yes, they are commanded to go, but as they are going, he's finally arrived into the temple, into the tabernacle of the Lord. Can you imagine it? And he's coming in, and he has now made his journey. Maybe he traveled long, and he's tired, and he's exhausted. Maybe he's there, and he's looking forward to visiting the tourist shops and getting some trinkets from Jerusalem. But his heart's desire, his number one priority, is not to do all the touristy things. His number one priority is to go into the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle of God, and to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. That's his heart's desire. And so as he comes, he is reminded of this song, come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. There is that invitation to bless his name. St. Augustine says this: Thou, O God, hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. The Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief aim of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. When we gather together in the name of the Lord, we're coming together as a people collectively to go into the presence of God, to bless God Almighty, and to enjoy him. This is a taste of heaven. It is a beautiful act of worship. It is a testimony to our society. Yes, as many are driving by, but they still see that church, they still see that steeple, and they still look and they see vehicles in the parking lot. Why? Because we, the people of God, have made it a priority to come and bless the Lord. The psalmist is singing here. Come and bless the Lord. We see the invitation, first of all, to worship God. You're invited. Hallelujah. Everyone is invited. Let's come. Come. I was glad, as the psalmist had sung earlier, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It should fill our bones with excitement and joy when we gather together in his name. more than just going out of habit, more than just going out of tradition. We should go with expectant hearts because we've been invited to worship the creator of the universe who made man in his likeness, who breathes the breath of life in us. It is a supernatural event that we get to participate with the divine God. And we get to come and worship and worship. But yet in our culture, we are so eager to listen to the other voices. It's not that important. They won't miss me. No one talks to me anyway, so I'm not going to go. I'd rather attend to my garden in the backyard. I'd rather go to the beach. I've used that a couple times. It's been said a lot to me. But we see this invitation in the first verse here, Psalm 134. Come, come, bless the Lord. Other translations stated as, behold, the New King James Version says. The New English Translation, the NET Version says, attention, attention. The International Standard Version says, now, now is the time to come. The Contemporary English Version says, come. We're invited to come together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. These pilgrims on their way to the temple, what were they supposed to do? Why are they going? They're invited to go. God has always given the invitation to come and seek him. He is the one who has initiated. He's the one who's demonstrated over and over and over again his desire to know humanity, to know us, to know you. God wants to know you. Isn't that good news? So he invites everyone. Every man, woman, young person, and child to come. He told Jeremiah, what? And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isaiah says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 45, verses 19, 18 through 22. God has desired for us to go, and we've been invited. You've been invited. Have you ever gotten an invitation in the mail? Maybe someone in your family got an invitation in the mail, and maybe someone else in your family didn't get the invitation in the mail. Has that ever happened? Maybe not. Maybe. I've had it happen a couple times where I've gotten an invitation, but my older son didn't get the invitation, and so he just says, well, I'm not going. And I said, well, I think you're included. No, I'm not going. I didn't get personally invited. Listen, God has personally invited everyone. Everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. You've been invited to come and worship and bless his holy name. We see they're instructed to go as well. It's part of a commandment. They're going, and it's called the Songs of Ascent. They were to sing these songs on their way, starting with 120, which talks about repentance. I'm going to change my behavior, my attitude, my actions, and I'm going to turn toward God, and I'm going to seek him with all my heart, with all my soul, and I'm going to worship him and follow him. And so every step along the journey, they sing these songs. God promises to bless. He says to them in the Exodus, I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. No one shall covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times a year. So you don't have to worry. Well, if I go and worship, is the house going to be safe? If I go and worship, is my property going to be taken care of? If I go and worship, will all my duties take care of? Yes, God's promises that he will bless you as you go to bless him. Moses was inspired to go as they come and worship and bless his holy name. He was inspired. Have you been inspired in worship? Like, wow, I really want to go. You remember back in the day, some of us might remember this, when Billy Graham had crusades. And he would meet in baseball stadiums or football stadiums, wherever he could meet, he would meet. And he would be able to gather together the church collectively. And people would get excited about that. Here is going to be a crusade in our city where the gospel is going to be proclaimed, where the good news of Jesus is going to be given, and people will have a chance to respond to the invitation. And so people would gather, and there would be crowds. There would be crowds that would come. They were inspired to go. Moses, in Exodus 19, brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the fountain, foundation of the foot of the mountain. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope, Hebrews says, without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Let us consider one another and to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. We are commanded to go, we are instructed to go, and we should be inspired to go. Why? Because God does a wonderful supernatural work when the body of Christ gathers together to bless his name. He speaks to us. He speaks to us as a congregation. The word that God has for you and for me today in this local assembly is going to be different than the local assembly in the next community. But God is supernatural and he speaks. And he doesn't want us to miss it. Pandemic came, didn't it? COVID came and it just really knocked. It was trying to knock ahead in the whole idea of gathering together as a people of God. What are we going to do? Many churches shut down. Many small churches stopped meeting. Many pastors left the ministry because they didn't know how to minister in the pandemic. The enemy was working overtime, but God gave creative ways to go online, to still build community outside. And it's a different age in which we live now because we still have the online community, which we're grateful for. But we're also grateful for the in-person community. And I've had many people tell me, oh, we've watched you online, but it's much better in person. Why is it better in person? Because we are social creatures. God made us this way. No one is an island. Sorry, Kenny Rogers. No one is an island. All right? We need one another in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do we need one another? We need one another to bear each other's burdens, to pray for one another, to lift each other up in the time of struggle. But we also need one another in the time of celebration, to rejoice when good things happen to our brothers and sisters in Christ, when God answers prayer in a supernatural way. We need to rejoice over that. We need to testify over that. We need to say, praise the Lord that God is working in a wonderful way in that person's life. Hallelujah. There's no jealousy. There's no anger. There's no slander. There's no malice. There is unity because we have gathered together in his holy name to lift up the name of Jesus, to proclaim praise to him, and to say, glory be to God. My God is a God of impossibilities. My God is a God who answers prayer. My God is still the God who's on the throne. And we come in to bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. We come and our blessing should be filled with praise. I may not get to the other points this morning in the bulletin. If you're looking at what's the next line, it's okay. Because it's so important to come. It's so important for us to come and not neglect gathering together. To wake up in the morning and to say, you know, I don't feel like going. You've heard that, haven't you? Haven't you heard that? Haven't you? Well, you may have thought it. You may have said it. I don't really want to go to church today. And the spouse comes in, oh, yes, honey, you got to go to church today. No, I really don't want to go to church today. Well, why? Well, I'm tired. Well, I don't really want to go to church today. Why? Well, I think it'd be better to, you know, just sit in the backyard and watch the birds. Well, you got to go to church today. Why do I have to go to church today? Because you're the pastor. You've heard that, right? The psalmist goes on to sing and he challenges. It says, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. It's referring to the priests of God who are to be in the temple. Guess what? In the day of this psalm, in the day of Israel, they had worshiped 24 hours, 7 days a week. Wow, it was open. Better than a 24-hour Walmart. It was open. They had worship together. And at 2 in the morning, they would start singing the song, some scholars say, these songs of ascents. And they would just sing and lift up praise. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember as a little kid, they used to, at New Year's Eve, have watchman services at New Year's Eve. And you'd have to stay up. You know, I thought as a little kid, man, this is great. I can stay up past midnight. This is all right. We get to worship the Lord and honor in the new year. But that slowly has faded away. I find that I'm older now. It's hard to stay up and watch the ball fall for the new year, right? That's like, I'm not going to stay up and watch that because I'll see it tomorrow on the news. They'll replay it. I won't need to watch that. But here, the priests that were picked by the Lord, the Levites, they were in the temple. They were to lift up worship 24/7, all hours, and they were on different shifts. And I imagine some of them were just going through the routine. It was boring to them in one sense. So I got to do it. I got, how much Java do you got? I got enough now. I'm doing it so I can stay awake. And so this song is sung, listen, you servants of the Lord, all of you who stand by night in the house of the Lord, listen, your body may not feel like worshiping, but lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. In other words, sometimes we come into worship, we've had our worst fights the night before. We've had our worst fights in the time before we come into the house of the Lord. We're filled with so many worries and concerns and attitudes, and we're angry because we didn't get enough breakfast, or we're sleepy because we didn't drink enough coffee, or whatever the reason is. And we come into the house of the Lord and it takes and says, I don't really feel like worshiping. But there is something that happens supernatural when we gather together to come in to the call to worship, to lift up our voice, to praise God Almighty in song, and focus our thoughts not on me, myself, and I, but to focus our thoughts on God Himself alone. For He deserves the glory and honor and praise. For He is the Holy One of Israel. For He is the one who has redeemed mankind and rescued us from the pit of hell and saved us and has given us everlasting life. Hallelujah. He is the one who has transformed our heart, and now He calls us His children, and we belong to Him, and we are the divine kids of heaven, and we get to gather in His name and proclaim Him Lord of Lords. And therefore, all that stuff that fills us, that the enemy wants to use to keep us from worshiping God Almighty, is washed away when we lift up praise to Him. Hallelujah. And we must continue that. We have to continue that. We have to, even whether we feel like it or not. So sometimes you may look at me and see me sitting over there, and is he lifting his hands? Well, it's sort of like Tim Hawkins. It's like, oh, the field goal or whatever. We make fun of it, right? But I'm putting my body in motion because I want to lift up his name above my cares and my concerns and my woes and my agonies, because I know if I seek him first, all these things will be added unto me, because I can cast all my care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. How do I know God cares for you? Oh, just read his word. He didn't have to care for you. As soon as Adam and Eve blew it, could have started right over. But he didn't. And throughout, I'm going to use a big term, meta-narrative scripture, God has demonstrated his faithfulness for us to want to enter into his presence and know him. That's why it's so important to know Jesus by faith. For he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. So Christ knows what you're going through. He knows the doubts, he knows the worries, he knows the fears, he knows the heartaches, he knows the struggle. He even knows how hard it is to pay taxes. We have scripture of that. Jesus knows. And he wants you to come to him and surrender so you can come in and worship him and bless his holy name. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Sometimes you may not feel like praising his name, but you need to go and praise his name, because God does something supernatural there. Something supernatural when we worship together. We see in verse 3, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. There is a prayer there, and there is a blessing. There's a prayer and a promise. A prayer and a promise. God, Eugene Peterson says it this way, God gets down on his knees among us, gets on our level, and shares himself with us. He does not reside afar off and send us diplomatic messages. He kneels among us. That posture is characteristic of God. The discovery and realization of this is what defines what we know of God as good news. God shares himself generously and graciously. Whichever form the blessing takes, it implies an exchange of the contents of the soul. God enters into our need. He anticipates our goals. He gets into our skin and understands us better than we do ourselves. And then the psalmist says, because the Lord has blessed me and I've blessed him, I'm praying that God will bless you. What a blessing, the Creator God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I love the story of Samuel. Why? You might say, well, you know, it was a great answer to prayer. Hannah had that prayer. What was that prayer? Well, she asked the Lord to give her a son, and if he did, he would give him to the Lord. And so that happened. And she did. And it says in 1 Samuel that they gave the child. In verse 27 says, this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. She gives a song and she sings a song. And at the end of verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, she says, then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. A little bit later on in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, you'll see that it says in verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. I like Samuel. That's why I think children are so precious. We need to allow them to make noise and run around in the house of God so they can minister to the Lord. And we need to have that childlike faith as we come into his presence to bless him so we can enjoy each other and enjoy him. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. I love to be with God's people. I hope you do too. I love to be in the house of the Lord, locally gathering together. Yes, our body, praise God, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives within us. But there is something still beautiful and sanctifying and sacred about the body of Christ, the people of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord, gathering together to bless his name. And this is something that will continue throughout eternity. It will. And how wonderful and glorious it will be. Can you imagine being around the throne in heaven? And you see Jesus face to face. He looks at you. You're perfectly known by him. And you perfectly know him. And he loves you deeply. And just for a moment, if you could, probably can't take your eyes off of him, but you recognize and you're aware that next to you is, there's my brother and sister in Christ who I worship with in Zephyr Hills. They're standing right next to me. We're declaring the praises of him who has marvelously rescued me and rescued them. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. How good it is when God's people come together and bless the Lord. So may you and I be people who now practice and never neglect the invitation that God has given us to come and worship. Come. And worship. Come and worship the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We confess many times because your world's playground is so full and so rich, we get distracted and we'd rather go play in the playground of the world than come and worship. Could be because, Lord, we got our priorities all wrong. We love the things of this world more than we love you. Forgive us. Lord, that we are filled with self and we're battling that. Surrender, or do I lean into self more? Do I surrender to you, Lord, the Savior of self? And Father, I pray that you'll help us. If anyone's here this morning struggling in that area, that they'll surrender to you, the Savior. That they'll be able to turn their eyes and look to Jesus and see you in your beauty and your fullness. And Lord, that through your supernatural work of your Spirit, that you'll wash our eyes, that we can see the beauty of the body of Christ. My brother and sister in the Lord, who's made in your image and who you are doing a good work in their heart, a sanctifying work. May we see that. Lord, may we experience in our local fellowship more of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. May we desire you, Lord, more than anything else. May we desire you, Lord, more than anyone else. May we delight together as a family of God in your presence. For we know that in your presence there is healing. Heal hearts now. bronchial bodies now. Lord, we know that in your presence there is cleansing. Forgive. Wash away. Wash away all the wicked words, all the wicked thoughts, all the wicked actions. Replace it with the living water of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I ask by your grace for your power to fall upon us, that we may bless you, that we may declare the praises of him who has marvelously rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of light. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name.